Today on the Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the haunted history of Greystone Manor with owner and psychic medium, Heather Reese Madison. So for you, when you end up purchasing Greystone Manor, now here with your abilities, and you're living in this house with people you are blood relatives with, that had to have been a really strange experience for you to have. The more I think about this, this is just a very interesting situation for you. So you're kind of able to communicate with them too.
Oh yeah. To me, I'm clairaudient first. I ask my guides all the time. I'm like, if someone wants to talk to me, just have them talk to me first. I want to hear them first. Don't just have them up here. And they said, no, we would never do that to you because it would freak you out. Like if you could see, they would say, if you could see what was actually in the room with you, yeah, you'd freak out. So we're not going to do that. Like I see when I need to, when I ask, you know, like who's around this person. If I'm doing readings, you know, I'll ask the people to come forward. I do a lot of seance work and then I'll ask them to step forward and then they show themselves to me. So there's definitely boundaries I've set for myself, you know, when it comes to certain things. But they're funny. I mean, the relatives here, they're bossy. They run the house, which is super funny. Like they sort of try to make it clear, like it's our house still, sort of, we live here. When we first moved in, they would just jump on people because we had people. When we first went in, we really had no plans to open up as a B&B. At first, we were just sort of, getting used to the house. But we had so much activity, everything from seeing full body apparitions to shadow people. I was seeing stuff outside, you know, in the fields, just people walking, weird stuff. So I had friends of mine who were psychics. And then I had helped with a lot of other paranormal teams just as their psychics and help. I would do a lot of tour guide work with different teams going into different areas. And so I had a bunch of paranormal teams come in as well. I wouldn't tell them anything. I'd be like, can you guys just come over and just check it out? Tell me what you feel. What are you sensing? In what areas? And they were like clockwork, all going to the exact same places. Like there's a woman in this hallway. There's something going on in here. And it was crazy because they were just validating everything that we knew we were getting and what we were hearing and seeing, you know. But what they would do though, is they were making people sort of sick. They weren't feeling well. People would come in and they would sort of fish around in their brains and want to know why they're here, is what they were telling me. Because I said, well, why are you guys doing that? Because you would see people just sit and kept turning around and they would forget what they were going to ask. And you could see that they were having trouble. And they said, well, we want to know why they're here. We're vetting them out. We want to know why they're here. And I said to them the one time, I said, listen, you know, don't attack these people. Like they're friends of ours. They're here. We just want to communicate. If I've invited them here, if we've invited them here, it's okay. Like we know them and you know, they're friends of ours. You don't have to worry about that. They said, no, it's not up to you. It's up to us.
Oh.
And we're like, they want to know who's being brought in here.
It's like, wait a minute, we really did buy the house. Yes. This is our house now.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. So that was weird because that was totally funny answer. And I'm like, all right. But they're good about people. Like they understand. Like they get, I think they're very social. They said they were part of the Root family. They're the people in After the Newcombs. Well, the Chapins were here for like 4 years, but then the Roots bought it. And they were the racehorse people. They owned a plantation in Virginia where they also bred racehorses. And they would sell and trade them down there, racehorses down in Virginia. And then they had a racetrack up here on the property, quarter mile track. And but they were part of the Underground Railroad, too. So they were bringing people up with the horses, with the ponies. So they would bring them up in the summer to race these horses. And they would bring jockeys and groomsmen with the horses on the real railroad cars, bringing the horses here to race. And then those people who are bringing the horses in would like disappear because they're part of the Underground Railroad. They're sort of shuffling people in from the South, from Virginia. So it was a big sort of like cover as well. So, you know, there's like a lot of funny stuff going on with that family, with the Roots, but they're the ones, the main ones that talk to me all the time. They're the ones who are connected, blood related to me.
That makes sense to me that they would be very concerned then about the people who are there. Why are you here? What are you doing? And are you going to discover our secrets?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, because there are rumors too that there was like a speakeasy situation as well, because the Roots were also rum runners. So they were all politicians. They owned a big oyster farm in Harvey's Wharf in Chesapeake Bay as well. At the same time, Curtis did, and his brother John. So those guys ran that with a judge. There was a Judge Ball that was down there with them. So they were all connected to government. His great-grandfather was Erastus Root, who was friends with Thomas Jefferson, probably why they were down in Virginia. Their great-grandfather was governor of New York for like 35 years. He was head of all the Masons of all of New York State. Big political figure. He was the Secretary of War, I believe, in the War of 1812. But he did a whole bunch of different things. So they're very politically connected as well. So these guys were doing all kinds of stuff. Racing horses, probably on the Underground Railroad. They're rum runners. Like, they were super fun people. They held a lot of events here. So they would have weddings and stuff here. So they were very social people too. But
and what year did you guys buy the house?
2017.
So since then, in the last 7 years, have you been able to kind of control it a little bit better or figure, it just seems like it'd be a very intrusive way to live. I think it would be hard to live like that for very long. Or have you figured out a way to kind of cohabitate with them?
I think we definitely cohabitate with them. I mean, I have, you know, the house is sort of divided into like our section of the house, but they know we're relatives, so they sort of give us our space, if that makes any sense. There's other people here who died. You know, we have seven confirmed deaths in the house as well. That goes in the Kalkenberg family, the people who are the dairy farmers, because Henry and Minnie both died in the house as well. You know, Melissa Root died in the house. Her dad, Daniel Stoll, died in the house, but he was also a political politician. This is back in the 1870s. So there's a lot of people. There's a drunken farmhand who died in the basement, fell down the stairs, they call it like the portal area. And so there's like a lot of different layers of people here too. And he died only in like the 1970s, that man, but he still felt and heard downstairs. People smell whiskey when he's around. People feel drunk. He'll like get too close to people and they'll feel like they've been drinking and they haven't. So there's a lot of weird stuff with him. But I mean, they're pretty cool. They understand why we're here. You're like, they want us here. So I think they're trying not to scare us away. I think they do it more as protection for us, but then they do give us our privacy if we need it. But then we've had, yeah, it has been weird though. I know we've had some stuff happen. Maybe a month ago, happened to my husband. He was in the front room and he was just changing. He had like a t-shirt. He was changing his t-shirt out and he had taken the t-shirt off, went to put the new t-shirt on. And as soon as he like lifted his arms, because he had the t-shirt over his head. And as soon as he pulled his head through the t-shirt, he said there was a man standing in the doorway behind him. That freaked him out because he said because I heard him yell. He actually went, whoa, he thought someone had like walked into the house and was standing like in the doorway. This is one of the downstairs rooms. And it freaked him out because he went to look for him because he said it was a man standing there. There was just a guy standing there. So you do get pop-up spirits or they do sort of appear. And he's funny, like I said, because he debunks things. You know, he tries to always figure out like what's going on. So, no, I don't know. As far as being intrusive, I think that they, you know, they want us here because they know we're sort of taking care of the place and we're keeping it to the historical time period. We're not allowed to switch it out. Basically, it's like staying in a museum when you stay here. We're on the historic registry. So it's like a museum.
But I was looking at the pictures of the rooms and they look so cool. And it's kind of interesting, too, because you have on the website, there's descriptions of the rooms and you get to see the pictures, but there also seems to be different activity in different parts of the house.
Right. Yeah. I would definitely say they stick to certain areas, but it seems that way. They're weirded out by the basement. A lot of the spirits in the house. We also have Native American burial mounds on the back property. There was a huge massacre that came through here in the 1870s. It's called Sullivan's Crusade. It was a scorched earth campaign. And when there was a show called Kindred Spirits that did an episode here, and they always do their own research. They kick us out for like 4 days while they stay here and film and do their investigating. They don't really want to know what we've discovered to a point. They want to just come in and see what they're experiencing. And But we gave them, you know, a little bit about what we know as far as history here and what the hauntings are about. And we kept getting a lot of Native American stuff here. So a lot of chanting, drumming. We see large shadow people that are like 10 feet tall. They manifest in the basement, in the upstairs hallway, but then outside. And you'll have someone stand there like an SLS camera, and they'll be mapping a normal size, their size, and then someone 10 feet tall will be right next to them. Almost like they're guardians. To me, they're angelic, or they're guardians of the dead. So, and they seem to tie to the Native American stuff. And that's what we were told about these, this massacre that happened here, or there was burial mounds on property, but they were massive burial mounds, meaning a lot of people died at one time. So she actually, Amy Bruni, so the one that stars the show, she was so funny because she even said, like, in the reveal at the end of the show, she goes, people always say their houses are haunted because they're built on an ancient Indian burial grounds. She goes, and it's never that. She's like, we've never found that. But you guys, she's like, you guys are ground zero for this giant massacre that happened here, where they killed like hundreds of thousands of Native Americans, all the ones that were helping the British during the Revolutionary War and stuff like that. They were burning them all alive. Burning their villages down to the ground. And at Gasport, where we are right now, Royalton, New York, we're in Royalton, was ground zero because it goes, we're like 5 minutes from the lake, Lake Ontario. So all the forts are up there going into the Canadian side. So yeah, she's like, yeah, it came right through here. They massacred everybody here. So all the Iroquois that were here. And then the British in retaliation massacred everybody helping the Americans. So they did the same. Burned them all, killed them, massacred them, chased them up to Old Fort Niagara, which was at that time American controlled. The Native Americans that made it there on foot got to the fort. It was wintertime when this was all going on. And they said, listen, they're trying to kill us. Please let us in. We're on your side. And they're like, nope, sorry. Don't have any room. Can't fit you in here. And they all froze.
Oh.
So they just wiped out like everybody here. And you know, as far as this area being haunted, like that's a huge like puzzle piece. We're also on two ley lines. So if you ever look at the globe, at the earth of ley lines, we're at a cross, we're at an X, Gasport, right where we are. Mm-hmm. If you look at the ley lines, one goes up to Toronto, one goes up to Montreal. So we're at a cross ley line power grid. So there's like a lot of weird stuff going on here as far as that goes as well.
I don't know how I'd feel about knowing that information about the massacre there. It breaks my heart. And, you know, it's like, this is where we live. This is, and this happened on this land, and how horrific that had to have been. But it also, I would think, would answer a lot of questions. You know, well, it would make some sense.
We brought a shaman out as well to bless the land, and they said to plant like fruit trees because it's supposed to rebirth and growth with the symbolic fruit trees, things like that. So we did. We tried to do what we could do here. We did have them do a tobacco ceremony and blessing and everything out back just to sort of calm the energy down, because we also want to acknowledge that that happened here, because we really didn't know. We had no idea. We were told. But it's different when you actually have a historian tell you, yes, this is what happened here. The funny thing about, if you ever watch Kindred Spirits, and that was the episode, that's a show that we're on, our episode makes no sense, because the whole episode, even their psychic, Chip Coffey, who was doing his walkthrough, kept saying the same thing. He's like, there's Native Americans outside. There's a lot of them. They're all on the wood line. I'm talking like thousands of people. It just sounds like you're in a crowd when you're out there, and you feel like you're just being encroached on. Like there's, you see shadow people. It just looks like they're coming at you from the woods. And we've caught that on film, all kinds of stuff. So there's this whole Native American element. And when the episode aired, the producer called and said, hey, listen, we had to take all the Native American stuff out of your episode. And we're like, why? And they said, well, we don't want to upset the Native American community by exposing or letting them know about this whole thing that happened, even though it's a historical fact. A lot of people don't know about it. And we're like, what the hell? So our episode makes no sense. They're like, they put a garden in and made everybody mad. And we're like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And I think it's important to acknowledge history, how can you change what you can do to heal things if you don't acknowledge the horrific yes. things that happened?
Yeah. And the one funny thing was they did an experiment with me. We had a seance in the basement here where we see a lot of the shadow people, and their psychic Chip was even saying, you know, this basement's in the grave level. Like, you're in the ground, you're in grave level mm-hmm. when you're down in the basement where the dead are. That's why it's so active down here. And so we did a seance, and it was funny because Chip at the time couldn't travel. So he was doing everything remotely, but he was on the laptop at the end of the table. We were doing a seance, and I was at the other end of the table, and the two hosts were on either side of me. And then, so Amy took a bag out. It was like a zipped, like almost looked like a lunch bag. She goes, "Can you guys tell me what's in here?" She goes, "There's something to do with the house, but can you guys guess what's in this bag? I want to see if you can pick up on it." And I do a lot of psychometry where I hold items, especially in seance work, because I get a lot of images and I'll pick up on things that are connected to items. And I joked and said, "Is it whiskey and cigars?" Because we smell a lot of whiskey and cigars here in the house. And then I said, "Well, can I touch the bag? I don't want to feel it. I just want to put my hands near it." And she goes, "Sure." First thing I got, as I said, it feels like there's dirt or flowers. I'm going, "I'm feeling that there's dirt in here." And then I go, "No, wait." I go, "No, it's graveyard dirt." "They're telling me it's graveyard dirt, like sacred ground. This belonged to like a grave. So it feels like there's like 100 stuff, but it's all fragments of, but it's also burial. I don't know what you got in here." And they were freaking out. They're like, "What the hell?" So they unzip the bag, and they had 2 coffee cups in there. And the one coffee cup was filled with dirt from the graveyard area that we found here on the property. They took a shovel and filled it with dirt from the grave. And the other coffee cup was filled with dirt from the high field where the burial mounds are. And they have burial mounds. So there were 2 different cups full of dirt. That's why I was getting 2 different kinds of burials. But how weird, wow. right? No ceremony, we put it back into the ground. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was a trip though, but that was crazy because they were literally showing me hundreds. I'm like, "What is this other thing?" I couldn't imagine, you know, but yeah.
Now, when have people stay there, I'm going to guess everybody's a little bit different. You know, they might not want to know anything, but then they might. Do a lot of people pick up on similar energies like in spirits like you do?
They do. I mean, a lot of times people come here for all different reasons, though. We're still an actual B&B, but we had to put the disclaimer in there for having spirit activity because it's almost a 200-year-old house. I mean, it's got a lot of history. It's a historic site. So, you know, you've got all that going on. And then we're near a bunch of wedding venues. So we actually have had wedding parties stay here. And then we've had birthday parties and different things, but a lot of times people do stay here for psychic stuff. We allow you to investigate. You can have the whole B&B to investigate. People, you know, feel a certain way. There's a lot of people will feel touched or like their hair has been pulled or, you know, something grabbing their hand or whatever. And then sometimes people will feel dizzy or they'll feel, you know, different ways as well. So yeah, we've had a lot of interaction, and then just with their equipment and things that people have filmed and caught—they've caught all kinds of stuff, from spirits to shapes to voices to you name it. You know,
have you had people stay there who just came through? They're just doing the bed and breakfast. It looks like a cool place to stay, and then it's like, what the heck happened to me? I wasn't planning on, you know, having paranormal activity.
Yeah, that's why we put the warning in there. Like, hey, known to have a little spirit activity, but they're usually pretty friendly, especially upstairs. We don't really have a lot of, but we have had some crazy stuff. We've had sleep paralysis and other things happen to people. Yeah, we did. We one family in particular always sticks out because they were so funny about it. They were in from Seattle staying 4 days and for a wedding. And they were not paranormal. They didn't care. And even when they get here, you know, they'll even make a little joke about it. And we're like, okay, yeah. I'm like, usually if you're not here, our ghosts are very interactive. If you ask questions, they'll usually respond back. But if you're sort of doing your own thing, they usually leave you alone. But they were staying in the gold room. And in that room, people will hear like a woman talking and things like that in that room. But the guy, the first night they stayed, it was really funny because at breakfast the next morning, He goes, so tell me what goes on in that gold room or who's in there. I'm like, well, we're not really sure, but why, what happened? He said, somebody lifted the covers off his feet. It was a husband and wife in there. And he felt something touching the bottom of his foot. Like, it almost felt like someone was poking the bottom of his foot with their fingertip. And he thought it was his wife, like sort of screwing around, like, you know, with her feet touching his feet. And he looked and she was on her side. She wasn't facing him. She was nowhere near him, but he felt the covers lift up over his feet, which is very Victorian. They used to do that for health reasons. They thought it was healthier to sleep with your feet up from under the covers. They thought it was like, would keep you healthy. Then they felt what felt like a cat jump on the bed. But they had, and we have cats in the house that roam around, but we keep the doors to the rooms locked, obviously, for, you know, allergy reasons and things like that. So we make sure they're not up there. But there is a ghost cat in that room, too, that does, jumps on the bed. You'll feel it. It'll sleep at the foot of your bed. So they were freaked out. And then they were like, so what else goes on here? And then we're telling them the rest of the stuff that people see here in the other rooms. And then they were so funny because they were out for the day, came back, and they brought flowers for the spirits in the gold room. And then they brought like candy for the child spirit that's in the kids' room. There's a little boy there of the Root family who died. His grave's on the property. And he's seen and heard in that kid's room. So they brought like gifts for everybody. Oh. They brought a bottle of tea and they left him in the rooms. Like, we're bringing them gifts so that they'll like let us sleep and that just so, you know, we're friendly. We're a laugh and like, you didn't have to do all that. They're like, no, we think this is really cool. We want to see if they like interact with us more. Because then they were fascinated, you know, because they're like, what the hell? I'm like, yeah, that's here. It's crazy. Like, they're very interactive.
Now, they mm-hmm. can get information on the website about staying there and booking. And it's Greystone, G-R-A-E, StoneManor.com. Mm-hmm. But they can also get a reading from you. And so can they set that up through the website? And I know there's a number to call, but you do mm-hmm. psychic readings and past life readings, and they can do it over the phone. It'd be cool to actually go there and meet you and do it in person, obviously, but sometimes that's harder to do.
No, that's fine. I mean, when you book, you can text to that number as well. But people, you know, you can send us an email or let us know when you want to stay. And we actually have that happen quite a bit. People will request, you know, they'll want readings. Everything on that website, like all of my psychic services are all on there too. So you'll see, it'll say like psychic readings, psychic Heather, you know, Reese Madison. So you can go on there and book whatever. Like people have booked, they want seances or they want classes because I teach classes and pendulums and card readings and stuff too. So in Reiki, I'm a Reiki master, so do Reiki healing as well. I mean, I have my office here, so everything is on site, which is nice. So if you do want to have readings, you can book all that all through, you know, just send me an email and I'll send you all the information on how exactly to book, but I'll, you know, get right back at you and we'll set that up for your stay. Oh, just one thing I wanted to say too. June 22nd, we're having a big artisan fair here and, we're going to have psychic readings and things too, but we're going to have, it's going to be a paranormal investigation that you can book through with Adam Berry and I. And you can go to my website's listed on there, but you can go to adamberryevents.com to get tickets to that too. And it'll be an all-day thing starting at noon with food trucks and everything. So you can have vendors. It's going to have all artists and artisans here. And then the investigation at night, if you want to do it, that's a VIP investigation with us. So if anyone wants to do that, you can go to my website and ask questions about it or just go to adamberryevents.com as well.
That would be fun. And another thing, if someone is listening to this like in 2025 and you missed that, look at their website because I bet there's some events coming up. So that would be so fun, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
too bad we're so far apart.
It's nice, though, because he has investigated here before, so he has a little bit of, you know, a feel of the place, which is going to be really fun to investigate with him. Because again, we were sort of kicked out, so we couldn't really investigate and couldn't compare notes till later, you know, till the episode aired. And then, you know, getting a hold of them was funny because then they had me come on their show and do some more locations with them as their psychic. So I worked on, I think, four other locations. They had me come in as a special guest psychic or whatever. So that was really, really fun to work with them that way too.
This was such a great conversation, and I find you absolutely fascinating, Heather. I knew that you would be an interesting person to talk to, but this was really great. Really, really, really fun to talk to you. And that wraps up our conversation about the haunted history of Greystone Manor with owner and psychic medium Heather Reese Madison. For more information, go to greystonemanor.com. That's Greystone, spelled G-R-A-E, stone. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes without the commercials, you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.